It's the Mornings with Ed show straight up at 8 o'clock, and what we've been trying to do all week long, it seems like in the last 7 days there has been a month's worth of economic activity throughout the country. So we've been trying to wrap our heads around that. This morning, our GDP, we learned that our GDP had dropped 4.8% in the first quarter. To help us sift through all of that, you need an economic expert, and that's what we have here. The founder and president of Wealthwise Financial Services, Laureen Gilbert, is with us this morning. Good morning, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. Great to be here.
Glad to have you on. You are such a necessary conversation this morning. Less than a couple of hours ago, we learned that the first quarter GDP had dropped 4.8%. That's the largest drop in a dozen years. Was that a number we were expecting?
You know, we were expecting about 4%. The expectation was a 4% drop, and we dropped 4.8%, which is a larger drop. And remember that this only represents 2 weeks' worth of the lockdown period of time. And so first quarter we knew would be down, but it's the second quarter that has everybody much more concerned.
So as bad as this number looks, really, because we had a great January, a great February, and even the first couple of weeks of March was pretty good. So as bad as this number looks, it's going to be the last 2 weeks of March plus April and May when we get our next set of numbers. Is that right?
It's going to be the next quarter will be April, May, June. And so we expect that those numbers are going to contract more like 30 to, you know, even 40%. So that number is going to be a huge contraction. Now, just to compare, we also got the fourth quarter 2019 number that was positive 2.1%, which is much more in line with our trend that had been during our expansionary growth phase. But the global pandemic and the shutdown is causing, you know, both the demand and the supply chain issues to where everything has stopped. So that means our economy is definitely contracting, and the classic definition of a recession is two consecutive quarters of negative GDP. And I will say we are in a recessionary period right now.
Okay. And some people are even optimistic about the third and fourth quarters. And do you understand that optimism?
I do. Okay. Absolutely. I think that consensus is that certainly third quarter will be better than the second quarter, which is going to be dismal, and the fourth quarter will be even better than that. And I think the real question is, how soon can we get America back to work and back to our GDP numbers being in the positive space versus the negative space? And I do think it's going to take a while for the economy to recover. So we're not predicting a V-shaped recovery. We're saying more like a W-shaped recovery. But, you know, we will come out of it. But on the other hand, I want to emphasize that this is significant. The second quarter numbers are going to be the worst numbers that we've seen in most of our lifetimes.
Right. Like Great Depression type numbers are what we're looking at. If it's a 40% drop in the GDP.
Correct.
Okay. Now,
but that doesn't mean that we would be in a depression. It just means that the numbers would be horrific for a short period of time. What makes a depression is if you cannot come out of that. Right. And that's what happened back in the late 20s and the early 30s, is that they had the recovery for them. It just didn't happen. That's a depression.
So if we've got a 40% drop in the GDP in the second quarter and the jobless rate is at 20%, we're not looking great. But if we get better, let's say we grow again in the third quarter. And when we do, how much of the same economy is that?
Well, it depends on the sectors that you're looking at. So certainly there are sectors that, in my opinion, are changed forever. Okay. I think, you know, much of big box retail is changed forever. A lot about the travel industry is going to be significantly changed. So there are areas of the market, so hospitality, travel, those kinds of things. But for investors, I just want to point out, for investors, that's actually a very small part of the market, the overall broad market. So most of, you know, when you look at the broad market and you say the S&P 500, those areas of the market are really not as impacted in the S&P 500. And so, you know, it's interesting to see what the S&P 500 has been doing amidst all of this. And even with these numbers coming out, the economy, the markets don't seem to be impacted as much. And if you'd like some input on that, I can certainly give it.
I actually would, because I noticed that the S&P has spiked 29% since its low back on March 23rd.
Mm-hmm. So let me tell you, that is all about Fed policy. Okay. It's all about, the markets reacting to what we call a risk on when you have the Fed being as involved as they are. So there's a phrase in the industry that says, don't fight the Fed. And that is exactly what's happening here. Okay. So with all of the intervention that the Fed has made, everything from lowering rates, expanding the balance sheet, all of these programs that you hear about, whether it's Main Street Lending, PPP, all these things that have been done, that is all initiated by the Fed, the Federal Reserve. And so, and then they're even talking about supporting areas of the market that have never been supported before. So they are doing very creative, you know, on the one hand, it would be considered creative. On the other hand, we are seeing the Fed support the markets in a way that the markets no longer become free markets, in a sense.
Right.
So it might be necessary for a short period of time in some areas, but I'm not in favor of the Fed being involved for a long period of time. We need to maintain our free market society.
Right, right. So the Congressional Budget Office, as you just mentioned minutes ago, they project a surge in the GDP by about 23% during the third quarter. But I'm guessing that that's if everything goes perfectly and we don't have a second wave of the pandemic. It has to be if everything goes right.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And I think that things are going to take longer. So I do think we're going to have a surge. Who knows exactly what that number is going to be and how much can be recovered and how fast those people who are unemployed are either going to be rehired by the same firms that furloughed them or they're going to find new jobs. But you're right. The jobless numbers, the unemployment numbers are staggering.
Yeah, 25 million jobless claims since March 15th. That is a staggering mm-hmm. number. With that in mind, mm-hmm. I want to talk about the Paycheck Protection Program. They, you know, when we first heard about it, they had a really simple goal, is to keep small businesses afloat during this strife. But businesses like the Los Angeles Lakers were able to apply for and get a loan. And I get the technicality of them having less than 500 employees, and that being the technicality that got them through. It's horrible that a business worth $4 billion would apply for that loan, I think. It is a small business loan. But in this current Paycheck Protection Program, is there a way to defend against businesses doing that?
So a couple of things. The first wave of complaints were around publicly traded companies, and it was definitely not designed for publicly traded companies. They have the access to capital that they need through the public markets. It was designed for small businesses that had a need. And I think there could be made a case that LA Lakers probably had a need. And if you look at the guidelines that were outlined, they fell within the guidelines.
They did.
So it's either you change the guidelines or people should be able to apply. So, I believe following the rules. And if they follow the rules, that's one thing. But the publicly traded companies, it was never designed for. The other thing I'll say is that Mnuchin came out and said anybody receiving $2 million or more through the PPP is going to have a full audit. And that's appropriate.
Right.
And the point is, if there's a reason for it, you know, if the Lakers can't play and everybody, you know, they can't do what they need to do.
Right.
So there, you could fall on both sides. I heard an interview from a CEO of a company defending his the money that he received because he was portrayed as a billionaire, but he's in the middle of a merger. He has no cash. He has no money. He might be on paper a billionaire, but they don't have any access to capital. They have no money. They are a private company. They have 350 employees. So, you know, I think that it's all about the guidelines that are set, and if there needs to be audits afterwards, there will be. What I was pleased about was to see that the publicly traded companies are returning that money,
right?
Which is what they needed to do.
Yeah, I want a big applause to the Lakers at the same time for that, for returning the money. So yeah, and they didn't have to be shamed into it, which was also pretty good. Mm-hmm. Now the Fed meets today. Are you thinking they're going to leave short-term interest rates at zero?
I do. I think that's, you know, consensus that they're going to leave them alone for now and let things kind of run through the system. Right. I don't, you know.
Now, does
nobody wants to see us go into a negative interest rate situation. Right. And if we do, it's going to have to be based on what happens in the second quarter.
And do low rates, they punish the older and more conservative investors that have money in bank accounts or money market funds or treasury bonds. If they keep it at zero, and sometimes how long would they keep it at zero? Because these people aren't going to be earning any interest on their money.
Well, you know, you still earn interest on money in bonds. And the real danger is when rates start to go up is when the value of those bonds that they're holding goes down. Okay. So that's a concern for the longer term, more conservative investors, is that you're kind of stuck with, you know, what am I going to do at that point? And that's why there's a case for, even as a conservative investor, to have an allocation in equities, albeit a smaller allocation, you know, maybe it's 20-25%.
Right.
But even somebody who's looking for a very conservative allocation may want to consider some equity exposure for the long haul, because that can pay off dividends. And those dividends, in many cases, are paying out more than what you can get on your fixed income.
That makes so much sense. That makes absolute so much sense. Thank you for that. And the Fed is also going to lend $500 billion to large companies as part of a bond buying program. No strings attached to this, though. They don't have to keep their employees or anything. Are we stepping into something that we know is going to be a little dirty?
Yes, and that's what I was alluding to. The Fed taking these unprecedented moves,
right,
whether it's talking about supporting the high yield bond market index or whether it's supporting some of these companies. And when you have the Fed, in a sense, picking winners and losers in parts of the market, that's problematic,
right,
as an investor. The whole idea of investing is, you're taking your money, and there is a risk, but with there's risk, there's reward, and there will be winners and losers. But if you have the government then, in a sense, choosing who the winners and losers are, we have a longer term problem. So
it's,
you know, that's the implication.
Okay. So I'm waiting for a few months down the road, and I'm kind of cynical here. So I'm waiting for a few months down the road for there to be major problems with that $500 billion. I really am. I told you I had a dumb guy question for you, and just, this is stuff that I've noticed here in the last 5 days. I've noticed that, I'll give you specifics here. Live Nation, who holds concerts, hasn't had any concerts. Six Flags, an amusement park company, has closed parks. Norwegian and Carnival Cruise Lines, their virus and bacteria traps. All of those stocks are up substantially, yet Walmart, Target, Costco, CVS are all barely up in the last week. Have those bigger companies, the Walmart and Targets, have they reached their peak as far as profits? And how does something like that happen?
Great question. So when it comes to some of the consumer staples, there has been a run-up of consumer staples early on, because when you're in the middle of a recession, consumer staples, healthcare, and utilities are some of the winners. And then, but the markets are always forward looking. So there's already been a run up in many of the consumer staples. When it comes to the areas of the market that you mentioned, which fall under that category that I was talking about earlier, you know, the travel, the entertainment, those areas that were significantly hurt. Now that we're looking towards opening the country, the markets and investors are looking beyond the pandemic to the time when things reopen and people are wanting to get in early. Now, I'm not recommending any of those companies.
Of course.
You know, because I think, you know, we can't recommend any companies. And I have to say, I think that those areas of the market, travel, entertainment, I think they're going to have a long road ahead. So some of the run-up in certain companies may be a value trap in a sense. Sometimes people look at stocks and they say, well, this looks like a good value. It's gone down so much. But the value trap may be, well, there may be a really good reason and it may be low for longer and you may buy into it. And even if it runs up, that doesn't mean that that company is going to show earnings. And earnings is where the value is in stocks. It's all about earnings.
I've always said that. I should have a shirt made that says that. It's all about earnings. Laureen Gilbert, mm-hmm. Wealthwise Financial. How do we find you online?
Wealthwisefinancial.com is our website, and our number is 949-748-1177.
It seems like each week, at least a month's worth of economic news comes through. I cannot thank you enough for helping us sift through this week's economic news, Laureen.
Thank you, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you again next week.
Okay. Thanks so much.
That's Laureen Gilbert, Wealthwise Financial, founder and president of Wealthwise Financial. If you need her number or you need her any information about her, give me a call here.